The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host... Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Wednesday, February 15th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world, or maybe 425, I'm not sure. Welcome to the show. So glad to have you here, and we got to figure out why that music's ending so quickly, too. That's a little disconcerting. But anyway, welcome to the show. We are recovering from our trip to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Los Angeles, and I am all alone here in Rolla J Studios. Cannabis Carrie has the day off. You won't believe the schedule she put herself through both before and after this trip in order to get the time off. She's doing like 16-hour double shifts before, 16-hour double shifts after, and you know, driving the 16 hours. So Cannabis Carrie is going to catch up on some sleep. We put her to bed early. Also, gone to John and Wiz Calico out there taking care of business, so they'll be back as soon as they can. You just get me, Radical Russ, for the day. But we got plenty of stuff to get to, so let's get right to it. First of all, I'll bring you the hemp headlines today. All sorts of interesting stories. One really disgusting story we'll start off with about a student being strip searched in front of fellow classmates in a search for marijuana. That's followed up by another Oregon to Utah medical marijuana transfer gone bad. The city of Detroit is seeking to appeal the marijuana decriminalization ballot proposal to the Michigan Supreme Court. The testing of marijuana in California still facing some legal vacuums as far as controls and regulation there. And another player for the pigskin potheads. West Virginia police have caught a Bears linebacker. That's good. We could use some defense with marijuana. So we will talk about that and more coming up on the Hemp Headlines right after this first break. Also, at 20 after, it's time for our Irie Wednesday Daily Toker Tunes. We'll be visiting with NorCal Perps, a.k.a. Kyle in the Bay Area, who we got to visit with on our way down to the Cannabis Cup. He's bringing us some music from Revolution, Courage to Grow. Highly apropos, considering Revolution is on tour right now, and we're big sponsors of Revolution. We love those guys. Also, at half past, we're going to speak to Dr. Mitch Earlywine, taking your live questions and answers in our cannabis science segment. If you've got questions about cannabis health, science, history, culture, anything not to do with growing, Dr. Mitch can probably answer that. All that and more coming up on Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. We're right back in audio after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hi, I'm Radical Russ. One of the best things about marijuana is the wonderful aroma. But when you travel a lot like I do, that aroma becomes a suspicious smell. That's why I endorse stealth-products.com, the leaders in smell-proof containers. From smell-proof vacuum bags to smell-proof backpacks and duffel bags, all the way to smell-proof digital safes, stealth-products.com has you covered. Stealth-products.com brings you safe, secure, odorless layers of protection with activated carbon fiber. Backpacks and duffel bags are simple black so as not to attract attention with a logo or flashy design. Now, nothing is perfectly odor-controlled from the detection of drug dogs, but with proper vigilance, containers from stealth-products.com will help you avoid nosy humans.
You're now listening to Elevates.
Stealth-products.com. Stealth-products.com.
Hey, this is Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger Seeds, TGAGenetics.com, and you're listening to The Normal Network.
WeedMaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to WeedMaps.com. WeedMaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let WeedMaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. WeedMaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. WeedMaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit WeedMaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply of the sacred smoke.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Well, Cannabis Carry has the day off. I'm Radical Russ with your Normal News and a very disgusting story coming out of Atlanta, Georgia. A middle school student is suing his middle school for being forced to strip in front of his classmates who said that he had marijuana in his possession. The student says in a lawsuit filed on Wednesday that he is still suffering emotional distress over the incident. The student, identified only as DH in documents, testified that officials at the Eddie White Academy School had strip searched three other students back in February of last year after suspecting they had possessed marijuana. One of those students accused DH of having the suspected marijuana. He was brought to the vice principal's office, and while the other three classmates watched, officials checked his pockets and backpack. They found nothing. One of the students said that they were lying to him, that he was lying to him about having marijuana, and DH begged them to finish the search in the privacy of a bathroom, according to the lawsuit. The strip search continued. No marijuana was found. The student says he is teased with other classmates taunting him by calling him Superman, the underwear he happened to be wearing that day. The student is suing the Clayton County School District for unspecified punitive and compensatory damages. Also named as the defendants are the school administrator, the county sheriff's department, and the school's resource officer, neither of which work at the school anymore. A lawsuit in 2009 that reached the U.S. Supreme Court found that officials are not allowed to do even a partial strip search of a student with probable cause. And there was a similar case 10 years ago in Atlanta where a federal appeals court found a mass strip search of students was unconstitutional, violating their Fourth Amendment rights against unreasonable search and seizure. So they may very well have a solid lawsuit. Well, may. I think they definitely have a solid lawsuit going on here. This is just so insane that our drug laws have gotten to this point where we think that some people, I should say, would think that it makes sense to strip search a child in order to prevent them from having marijuana.
I know it seems like such a simple message, just say no, but it's an important one.
Yeah, thanks, Nancy. The just say no message, this is where it has led. It's led to people thinking that we need to violate kids' privacy, strip search them, humiliate them. What this kid will have to go through for the rest of his schooling is just going to be unbearable at times for him. I hope he wins a huge settlement here. The only problem I have is I wish it would be a settlement against the administrators, the people that were involved, instead of the school district. I hate to see other students possibly, you know, losing out on activities or extracurriculars because the money has to be paid out to the defendant in this case. I don't know exactly how all that stuff works. I sure hope it doesn't hurt the other students. As for the principal, the administrator, the sheriff, the resource officer, those guys should be sued until they're broke. We've been telling you many stories about the transfer of marijuana out of medical marijuana states. It continues to be a report that we're hearing time and time again in the news as the prohibitionists seek to paint medical marijuana as some sort of problem. This one also comes out of my home state here in Oregon. Troy DeMello, age 36, and Karen Michalczyk of age 40, both of the Eugene area, were arrested on Sunday in connection with delivering pounds of marijuana to Utah. On Saturday, they were stopped near Unity, Oregon, a tiny town of less than 200 and a short distance from the Idaho border. The deputy that stopped them could smell marijuana and asked them about it. Both of the people in the vehicle said they were cardholders and had 3 pounds of marijuana on them, the legal amount for them to possess, a pound and a half each. The deputy released them, but called the sheriff of Malheur County, the next county over, to report the situation. County investigators spotted the car in their county and watched it as it met up with a vehicle from Utah. The two vehicles spent the night in Ontario, and the next morning, the car from Utah was stopped as it headed into Idaho. Both the occupants were arrested. The Oregon residents who had the police encounter the day before were stopped as they traveled back through Oregon on Highway 26, shortly after the Utah car was stopped and detained. Even though the Oregon couple had cards and could possess and transport, it is still illegal for them to trade or give the marijuana away to individuals without an Oregon medical marijuana card. They were jailed and charged with unlawful manufacturing of marijuana, unlawful delivery of marijuana, and unlawful possession of marijuana, and are currently in a Malheur County jail. Well, you know, the stories we've told before of the Oregon patients who get stopped in Idaho or Utah or Nevada have driven across the border. Here we get a new wrinkle on the story, having your connection meet you in Ontario, just, you know, right there on the border, and then kind of a halfway trip, I guess that's how they're figuring that out. But folks, if you're going to be doing stuff like that, you got to know the long arm of the law is looking for stuff like that. They're looking for those kind of transfers. And makes the program look bad. It makes the medical marijuana program look bad. It provides all the ammunition in the court of public opinion that the prohibitionists need to help shut down these programs, to help restrict them further, to take that limit from 24 ounces down to 3 ounces, down to 2 ounces, to take away the right to home grow. I hope the people involved in things like this who are making some money off of it put some money toward the cause of legalization so that we can end this possibility of getting them busted. But I know that's a foolish thought for me because they're making profit off of this prohibition. They're taking advantage of a medical marijuana law and making a profit off the prohibition in Utah. It makes me mad. We need to just legalize this so we can get those kind of shenanigans, those kind of games out of here, because patients will continue to be painted with the brush of criminals so long as this disparity exists. So long as it's possible to make this profit, someone is going to take advantage of a medical marijuana law. If you want it to look good, if you want it to look medical, if you want those patients protected, it's time to legalize for all of us. In other news, we've told you a couple weeks ago about the city of Detroit back in 2010 had a ballot measure to decriminalize marijuana in the city. Detroit voters looking to weigh in on a ballot proposal that would decriminalize possession of a small amount of marijuana may have to keep waiting. Now, the way the story worked is they proposed this in 2010 on the city ballot. They got the signatures. They got it on the ballot. But then the city decided they wouldn't put it on the ballot because that would violate state and federal law. Then that was taken to appeals courts. The first court agreed with the city of Detroit. The second appeals court, which we just reported on last week, ruled 2-1 that Detroit illegally kept the proposal off the ballot, despite the fact that the organizers collected far more signatures than they needed. The city argued they could not enact an ordinance that conflicts with state law and therefore could not place the symbolic initiative on the ballot. But the majority opinion wrote that the Detroit Elections Commission had a clear legal duty to put the proposal before voters, noting that the city could challenge the legality of the measure if it passed, if it was approved. That is, you got to let the people vote on it. Then once it's law, then the courts can sort out whether it's legal, whether it's constitutional, etc. But now the city of Detroit's decided to take that to the Michigan Supreme Court. Once again, a foolish waste of money. The Michigan Supreme Court's going to find exactly the same way. And how many times does the city of Detroit have to recognize that the people there are very interested in changing these antiquated marijuana laws, and that you cannot deny them the democracy that they have followed all the rules. They followed all of the laws, the regulations of getting the petitions. You cannot deny them that vote, their chance on the ballot. Continuing on with the news, another story coming out of the San Francisco Gate in California, the testing of marijuana done in a legal vacuum. And this is a story of these shops, these laboratories that have sprung up in California offering testing of medical marijuana for potency, for purity, you know, whether it's got contaminants and so forth. As we get into this story, it says only some top end dispensaries test their products, and even they can't be sure the results are reliable because all marijuana possession is illegal under federal law, and the Justice Department has been cracking down recently. The nascent labs are as unregulated and vulnerable to prosecution as dispensaries and growers. In Colorado, the one lab that tried to get a license from the DEA was promptly raided by that agency. That very week, Los Angeles passed its marijuana ordinance, which required testing by, quote, independent and certified, end quote, labs, without specifying who was supposed to do the certifying. Long Beach followed suit 2 months later. Making the situation even woolier, there are no federal standards for pesticides in marijuana. So, along with the rest of the industry, the businesses operate in a raucous frontier, with drug lab cowboys pulling up to pot shops with secondhand equipment to offer lab-tested results. The more prominent operations in California, including Steep Hill in Oakland, Halent in Sacramento, and The Workshop in Los Angeles County, have recently formed the Association of California Cannabis Laboratories to set equipment standards and methodology and to give a seal of approval for those who comply. They also hope to advance the science of marijuana, deciphering which compounds do what in the plant that can produce a broad range of psychological and physiological effects. This is something I've been calling for a long time, and I'm glad that the industry is looking at self-regulating it, coming up with their own standards to govern how these testing labs are supposed to operate. You know, it's one thing to say, well, you know, we've tested our bud, but the test is only as good as the tester. We need to make sure that these labs are reliable. We found California Normal did a survey of these labs and found wild variation in the accuracy of, for example, their potency testing, proving that they could only get potency within about 0.5 of a percentage point. So when you're seeing these labs that are advertising, you know, these dispensaries advertising, oh, our sour diesel is 18.15% THC, they can't find it out that accurately. The error rate is much greater. Their margin of error is much greater than being able to get it to the 1/100th of a percentage point. So we hope that these lab grading characteristics come to fruition, that we have better standards for these laboratories. And, of course, this would all be a whole lot easier if it weren't federally illegal. We'd have regulations from the Department of Agriculture, from the FDA, and so forth. We have all sorts of governance with regard to pharmaceutical products, with regard to plants, agriculture. But we can't use any of those laws because what we're doing is still federally illegal. And one more story here. This is from the sports department coming out of the Washington Post. West Virginia police charged Bears linebacker JT Thomas with misdemeanor drug possession. Chicago Bears linebacker JT Thomas is facing a misdemeanor drug possession charge after police in West Virginia said they caught him driving the wrong way down a one-way street and found marijuana in his car. Morgantown Police Chief Ed Preston said the 23-year-old Thomas was charged Monday morning. The officer who pulled him over detected the odor of marijuana, Preston said. And when Thomas retrieved information the officer had requested from the glove box, small plastic bags of marijuana fell out. Oh, my God. Thomas appeared in magistrate court for an initial arraignment and was released on his own recognizance. It's unclear whether he has an attorney, but Preston said he did not have one in court. Thomas was a rookie for the Bears in 2011 and spent the season on injured reserve. Oh, what a shame for this guy getting caught. But, you know what we always say is it only break one law at a time. Now, to be fair, one-way street, maybe, you know, you get into a new city, they get those one-way grids, you don't know exactly where you're at. You could possibly get lost somehow. And so, you know, we'll give them that one. But storing the bag of weed in the glove compartment where you have to get your registration and your insurance and all of that, not the brightest move I've heard of this year. All right, folks, well, it's time to take a break. We will be right back with NorCal Perps, a.k.a. Kyle, with our Irie Wednesday Daily Toker Tunes. Stick around.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Liam and me, we're gonna fuck you up.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Hey, how's it going? My name's Will. I don't work at a used record store. I don't own an iguana, although I'm sure they make great pets. I don't have dreadlocks or play the acoustic guitar. I can remember quite well, thank you, and no, I don't constantly have the munchies. When 420 comes around, I've still got 40 minutes of work left. I've never hit a girl on a bike with my car or shot my friend with a shotgun. I've never had to apologize for letting a girl I was watching drown in a pool while I was getting high because, duh, I wouldn't be getting high if I was around children. I'm a regular guy who works regular jobs, just like the majority of all Americans who use marijuana occasionally and responsibly. My name is Will, and I'm normal.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, welcome back, and it's Irie Wednesday. I need a day of Irie music, so I'm so glad we got NorCal Perps joining us here from the Bay Area. Hey, Kyle, what's up?
Not much. How you doing today, Russ?
Just recovering from sitting in a car for way too long.
Yeah, once Jay got back and told me you guys were making that drive straight, I was pretty shocked. I was like, well, all right. Unless they get a day to relax, though.
Couldn't have done it without Cannabis Carrie. She is a road warrior.
Yeah, she's definitely a trooper.
Well, hey, you know, this is a perfect song you got today because these guys, Revolution, they're on tour with The Green, a couple of our favorite groups here at the Normal Network. So tell us about the tune we got, Kyle.
Well, yeah, after all that great coverage we got this weekend from Southern California, I figured we'd play our friends from Southern California.
Yeah.
So they're on tour right now, like you said, with The Green. If you want to go and find out when they're going to be in your area, go to revolutionmusic.com. And I'm sure if you like this music, you will hear lots more of it on the Ivory Island Hour. So here is Revolution with Courage to Grow.
All right. Check it out on our blog at stash.normal.org. Lots of downloads up there. This is Revolution, Courage to Grow.
Which comes to you live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific on the Normal Network. I just wanted to let you know that two of my favorite bands are teaming up to spread good vibes across the land and are headed to a venue near you. Revolution is heading out on the second leg of their tour in support of the release of their new triple album, Peace of Mind, which includes full-length acoustic and dub versions. They'll also be joined by our boys from the land of Aloha, The Green.
You give me love and affection.
They're also promoting the recent release of their latest album, Ways and Means. You can check out a full list of shows, get the latest swag, and most importantly, find their music at revolutionmusic.com and thegreen808.com. Don't miss this amazing tour. I promise you, after these shows, you'll have peace of mind.
Yar! There be pirates here! Har, 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 har!
This is Normal Show Live.
As regards to legalization, it's not in the president's vocabulary and it's not in mine.
Providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
I don't care what you say. That ain't right. I said, that ain't right. That ain't right. I don't care what you say.
Catch Normal News with Cannabis Carry every weekday on Normal Show Live at 7 p.m. Eastern here on the Normal Network. It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany and the author of Understanding Marijuana. Now here's your dose of Cannabis Science.
All right, welcome back, everybody. having a good time here all alone in the studio trying to make sure all the buttons are pushed and the knobs are where they belong. And so far, so good. At least the folks that weren't here exactly on time don't think that. Anyway, oh my goodness, Dr. Mitch Earlywine's on the line waiting for us, probably shaking his head. How you doing, Dr. Mitch?
Having a great day. How about yourself?
A little discombobulated, but okay otherwise. Hey, you know, I just got back from the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Los Angeles, and I have to admit I'm way behind on my email, so I didn't see if there were any new studies or polls or anything we needed to tell the folks about. Anything new, Dr. Mitch?
Well, the one thing that has surprised me is not incredible news for regular listeners of this show, but the fact that it's published at all blew my mind. Forensic Science International actually has a paper out about which strains have the highest yield and under what conditions.
Wow.
And I'm reading this going, wow, times sure have changed. And I really never thought I'd get to actually see data on this. And, I mean, it'd be no surprise to Danny Danko or anything, but they compared four strains and had, you know, different wattage of bulbs and basically found that Big Bud and Super Skunk outdid Northern Lights and White Widow, particularly when they had 600-watt lights rather than 400-watt lamps. And, I mean, you know, that's interesting news and, of course, very cool, but just the fact that it's published at all completely blows my mind.
Yeah, that is pretty remarkable. Hey, I want to remind everyone that we're taking live calls here at 971-533-7111 if you're listening at the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour Eastern Time. If this is a replay, don't bother calling because we're not here. You can also get your questions in on the chat line. Carrie's not here today, so if you'll personal message them to me, I'll be able to see them in a separate window and I can get these questions to Dr. Mitch through our chat. Before we get to the questions, Dr. Mitch, we did have a story in the news I wanted to get your comments on since you work in academia. And I know that's college and not high school or middle school like the story, but we told this story of a middle schooler who was subjected to a strip search over a couple classmates that accused him of having weed. And the search retrieved no weed, but it did let all the other students know that he wears Superman underwear. What the hell are these administrators thinking? And when they sue this guy like they are, when they're suing these school districts, does that money come out of the school district and affect the other kids?
So as it turns out, it does. And as much as I would like to see these guys basically be paupers for the rest of their lives for having done this, they're not the ones who are going to, you know, take the heat on this. Most school districts are insured against lawsuits of various types, and so they're going to have to shell out, and then their insurance will have to shell out, and basically insurance will be raised for all the other schools around there as well. Mm. Nevertheless, this is just such an outrageous violation of, you know, every aspect of the Bill of Rights. I don't even know where to begin. And this kid has, of course, an outrageous, you know, really outstanding case. I mean, I went to a middle school where, like, you know, you were still allowed to get spanked, mm-hmm. but nobody would have strip searched you. Like, this is completely over the top, and I can't imagine what's going through an administrator's head on this, except some kind of delusional thing about how, you know, I'm going to get sued one way or another, so I'm going to go with this, or...
Oh, they might be afraid that if I don't stop the kids from having weed in the school, I'll get sued. Is that the idea?
Exactly. And so I was thinking, well, then, you know, call their parents. Like, how hard is this? Like, hey, I think your kid has pot. Bring him up.
Yeah.
You know?
I think anytime a situation arises where a kid's clothes might have to be taken off, I think parents should be involved. That's just a general rule of mine.
I think that's a good strategy all around.
Good Lord. All right. Let's get to some questions from our chat room. Yellow Wanna Cake, our star questioner, wants to know, if you were a research scientist, which you are, and weed were absolutely legal, what study would you conduct first?
In truth, the thing that I'm most interested right now would be how would cannabis enhance mindfulness or self-compassion meditation? I think that the combination of those two would be just a complete delight to see in how people could basically learn how to increase the quality of life, and that would be where I'd go first.
Mm, yeah, and it would be so – it almost would be like which study would you start first? There'd be so many that you could do that you can't do now because of the illegality. It must be hard to pick just one.
Oh, it really was, and I mean that's what I feel like doing today. Who knows what I'll feel like tomorrow? But the notion of cannabis as training wheels for meditation has always enhanced – just enchanted me to no end.
All right. Question from Gothic Prophet wants to know, any thoughts on the use of cannabis for lymphoedema, maybe using salves or medibles because smoking and vaporization are not options?
Yeah, I mean, I do think the potential for medibles is certainly there, but we don't have any published data on this. We're seeing some related disorders benefit from both cannabidiol and THC. General, prostaglandins are basically involved in that, and all the swelling and things like that. So, I mean, it would have some advantages over aspirin and some of the other meds that are used. I feel like it's got some promise. We just don't have a, randomized clinical trial.
All right. We've got a question coming from the NorCal kid, who I must say was one of our volunteers in Los Angeles this weekend and did a stellar job handling the table and all the people. And, our volunteers are the best, I got to say. But she's got a really good question here. She says she complained of having a headache today, and her roommate joked that it's probably from doing the butane hash oil all weekend. And she's wondering, when they make these oils, if they're not properly purged, could that affect someone immediately, or would it have a longer-term effect, like what she's feeling, a day or two after?
There's so many things that contribute to headache that it would be hard to guess, and it is unfortunate, but butane in particular and some of the other, basically those cyclohexanes, the ones that are made with those carbon rings, can have delayed effects. If she was using cannabis for headache in the first place, that may be an issue. The other thing I'm getting a lot of folks sort of forgetting about their caffeine consumption after a big weekend like that, and actually it may be caffeine withdrawal-induced headache.
Ah, could be the caffeine. Okay. Let's move on to another question here. 420 Geek wants to know if you would briefly discuss medical marijuana and skin cancer treatment.
This is a hairy area, but again, one that has some evidence that isn't directly on there, but suggests it might have some potential. Now, the salves and the direct, application of cannabis to the skin was something that I had resisted until basically I had seen, lived the data myself, so to speak. It does look like THC and a number of cannabinoids can decrease tumor cell growth in related cells. We don't actually have, the skin cancer in a Petri dish study yet. Mm-hmm. But when you think about what the cost is and what the potential negative consequences are, why not give it a shot? Skin cancer is something you really have to keep an eye on, though. It can metastasize quickly, and it's something that can spread in ways that are really unpredictable. And so I wouldn't use it as my first line of defense, but use it as a supplement to whatever physician's recommending.
Yeah, and isn't it, pretty much the case that with cannabis, especially if you're using a cannabis salve or anything, there wouldn't be very much to contraindicate using it. It's not going to hurt you in any way. It might be something, why not try it?
I wouldn't want to have it on an open wound, but yeah. Anything else seems completely reasonable.
Oh, all right. Sounds good. We got a question coming from Respect in the chat room. And again, folks, if you're listening, you can get your question in live by dialing 971-533-7111 or get into our chat room on Ustream and send it via the private message function. Just double-click Radical Rust and you can send me a message and I'll see it. Respect wants to know, what benefit is there? What benefit is there, RSD and or CRIPS? Oh, okay. Reflex symptom dystrophy. Wanting to know if there's any benefit for using cannabis for the treatment of reflex symptom dystrophy.
Unfortunately, I don't know anything about that disorder.
Yeah, that's new to me too.
is an intriguing combination of words that I've honestly never heard strung together, but I will look into that for next week.
Yeah, and Respect, send an email. Folks, if you don't get your question in, you can send an email to 420research@gmail.com. And maybe you're just shy. Maybe, it's private. You don't want to talk about it on the radio or whatever. That's fine. Send it in by email to 420research@gmail.com. We'll see what we can do there. Also, update on the NorCal Kids question on the BHO and the butane. She doesn't drink caffeine, so we'll have to find another headache cause. We'll see what it could
be. Good for her.
It couldn't be sleeping on the floor, 18-hour days, working a booth and standing all day. Couldn't be any of that. All right. Let's get to Roland Reverend's question here, and he's related to topical application, using the salves of cannabis. If you use a salve only, would you test positive on a P-test?
Sad but true. It's dose-dependent, but it's definitely a possibility. So if you're noticing any subjective effects from a salve, odds are high you will test positive on a urine screen.
Okay. Question here for Georgia Mom for Marijuana. How you doing out there in Georgia? Can cannabis help cigarette smokers quit smoking?
So I have literally 7 case studies, people who, you know, really swear by it and say it does help. I, you know, of course there is no published randomized clinical trial. If you're really interested in quitting smoking, I mean, I feel like anything that helps is gonna be a big plus. But we've got relatively better approaches, behavioral approaches that focus on brand fading, so decreasing the amount of nicotine per cigarette, trying to have good stimulus control, so you only smoke in one room of your house. When you're smoking, you only smoke. You don't like smoke and watch TV, smoke and talk on the phone, and then gradually cutting down until basically tobacco is no longer part of your life. If cannabis can enhance that, that's great. But we only have case studies, nothing formal to really show that would be a big help.
Yeah, it's such an insidious thing, cigarette smoking, between, you know, so many causes and so many things that hook you into that, besides just the nicotine itself, but also additives that they put into cigarettes to boost that, to boost the addictive potential and that need, that craving that you have. And then there's all, like you said, the behavioral things, the oral fixation, that feeling of always having a smoke, of it being a stress reliever, of it being just part of your, you know, your personality and your very image of yourself. It's just amazing how strongly that grabs people and keeps a hold of them. I would think, now me personally, I would think that smoking cannabis might be difficult to quit smoking, because you're kind of reinforcing that behavior, that physical taking something to your lips and inhaling smoke thing. But is there anything about THC or cannabinoids themselves as far as reducing just the nicotine craving part?
We don't have anything formal, and unfortunately, because the cues are often overlapped and combined, because so many folks do both within a few minutes of each other, it can actually potentially enhance craving. What's curious is some of these cue exposure approaches, where they'll have people basically hold a cigarette up to their mouth, light fire near it, and do everything they can to extinguish those classically conditioned reactions to the cues in hopes of making that easier. But to then go ahead and smoke, of course, it's unclear if that's going to make it easier or more difficult.
Yeah. Now, what do you think about, you know, when we talk about the tobacco companies, cigarette smoking, and all of the science they've poured into getting and keeping more customers, sometimes that gets used against us when we talk about legalization. They say, oh, it'll be like cigarettes. You'll have these big companies, they'll grow massive farms of weed, and they'll pump all sorts of additives in it to get you addicted, make you want to keep smoking. Do you think that's possible? And if it is possible and we legalize, how could we prevent that from happening?
I mean, since basically the Pure Food and Drug Act, the turn of the 1900s, we've tried to make it so that you have to report on the label what is in the product. And I do not feel like cannabis users are eager to have ammonia to their plants in order to enhance some subjective effect that they know they can achieve without it.
Are the cigarette companies forced to list all the ingredients on their packages?
Alas, no. You can get that information, but it's pretty hard to get from them. Mm-hmm. They basically bargained for the warning labels instead, and then, you know, I have my male friends who just say, I find a pack that's low birth weight. And
that's a brand for me.
yeah. So it's really unclear. In part because we know tobacco is just so flagrantly bad when smoked, it's almost redundant to mention all these things. And even some of the marketing ploys to say, hey, our cigarettes don't have those, sort of implying that they're harmless, which of course is not the case at all. Whereas with cannabis, I think, too, we have a pretty good model for, at least at the dispensaries, saying, you know, here's what's in here and here's how these were grown, and advertising that and having that be, in some ways, our guide for the way cannabis will be distributed once it's taxed and regulated.
Would it? Do you think cannabis, I mean, gosh, when we get it finally regulated, is it going to be its own category? Would it fall into other FDA categories or maybe USDA, Department of Agriculture? I mean, how many different agencies would have their fingers in that pie?
Well, it's sad because the way the agencies are organized is not particularly intuitive. The fact that Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms is an agency.
Sounds like a fun Saturday night to me.
Yeah, it's, you know, like dancing, reading, and playing the drums. You know, just like it doesn't necessarily go together. So I find that rather confusing. Because we're accustomed to tobacco regulation being the way it is, I feel like in some ways that would be an intriguing model in just a way of, you know, presenting and labeling. But I wouldn't mind if the FDA were involved just because of psychoactive properties and some of the familiarity they have with some of that. But, of course, they're not eager to do so.
All right. Well, Dr. Minch, that's all the time we've got for today. Of course, folks, you can get your questions in by email at 420research@gmail.com or wait till next Wednesday. We'll do it all over again. And thanks again for joining us. We appreciate it.
Talk to you soon.
All right. When we come back, we'll have a little bit of time for a radical rant, and we're going to take a look at High Times Magazine, something special in this one, when we come back.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Yo, what's up? This is Miles from Slightly Stupid. You're listening to Normal Show Live.
What makes something funny? How does humor impact health and psychological well-being? How can you incorporate humor into everyday life? A concise, reader-friendly introduction to an important but often underappreciated topic in modern psychology, Humor 101 explains the role of comedy, jokes, and wit in the sciences and discusses why they are so important to understand. Psychology professor Dr. Mitch Earlywine draws from his personal experiences in stand-up comedy to focus on how humor can regulate emotion, reduce anxiety, and diffuse tense situations, expose pretensions, build personal relationships, and much more. He irreverently debunks the pseudoscience on the topic of humor and leaves readers not only funnier, but better informed. It's part of the Psych 101 series from Springer Publishing, Humor 101 by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Ph.D.
Tonight, I appeared on Jeopardy and, well, how do I say this? I lost. Not only did I lose, I lost to this guy.
My basketball coach, he done kicked me off the team.
That's right. I lost to Cheech Marin. Cheech of Cheech and Chong fame, pot smoking star of blunt burning films like Up in Smoke, Next Smoke, and Still Smoking. He not only beat me, he crushed me. When I heard I was up against Cheech Marin, I admit, I thought his reflexes would be slow, not to mention his synapses perhaps, but I was so very, very wrong.
As Conan the Barbarian on what's best in life, to crush your enemies and to hear the lamentation of their women. Cheech.
Who is Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yes. Cheech again.
Who is Al Pacino?
Right. Cheech.
What is Pillow Talk?
Right. Cheech.
What is Never Never Land?
Yes. Cheech.
What is Camelot?
Yes. Cheech.
What is a baster?
Yes. You're the winner today. Your charity will get $50,000 and Aisha and Anderson's charity $25,000 each.
So I admit it, I lost to Cheech Marin. I tied for second with comedian Aisha Taylor, who is also a great player. And joining us now is the two-time Jeopardy champion, the man who crushed me, Cheech Marin. Cheech, congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much, Anderson.
Have people just been congratulating you? Do they pour out into the streets to congratulate you? Because people have been mocking me mercilessly since this thing was aired tonight.
It's tough when you can't hit a big league curveball, man. That's the separation point.
But I don't listen to her because my head is like a sieve.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant. Hey folks, welcome back. We just got a few minutes left in the show, and I want to take some time to point out the latest issue of High Times Magazine. And the reason why this High Times Magazine's got Snoop Dogg and Wiz Khalifa on the cover, it's very, very special to me because this is the first time I have been a featured article writer in High Times magazine. There it is. Beware the Box Canyon. If we keep fighting only for medical marijuana, marijuana is going to be medical only, by Radical Russ Belville. Page 84. Pick it up on newsstands today. Now, I have written for High Times before. I did the Freedom Fighter of the Month column, but that was really just part of my job with Normal. It's the first time I've actually gotten a feature article published in the magazine, and I'm really thrilled about that. I've got my own signed copy from Dan Skye, Bobby Black, Dave Bienenstock, and Danny Danko sitting upstairs. But it leads me to my subject for the day, and that is the Great Denver Box Canyon debate that's coming up. You know, there's a High Times Medical Cannabis Cup coming up for April 21st and 22nd in Denver, Colorado, and High Times CEO and publisher Michael Kennedy is going to be moderating a debate, a panel, whatever you want to call it, about the recent comments, believe it or not, the recent comments that Alan St. Pierre made regarding medical marijuana, the ones that were farmed out by Warren Edson, the former Normal legal committee member, former head of Colorado Normal. It's going to be him, Warren Edson, and Keith Stropp, the founder of Normal, will be discussing this notion of medical marijuana as the Box Canyon and clarifying what Alan meant in those comments about sham and farce. And I just have to say, I'm kind of tired of this, to be honest with you, but I'm kind of shocked by it as well. And I thought about this myself while I was in California. I was wondering, you know, if anyone was going to come up and bug me about the farce or the sham, or, you know, oh, how could Normal say that? And I'll tell you, I got nothing but mad love and respect from everybody I talked to while I was down there in Los Angeles. The High Times crew, people that had read it, they all knew what we were trying to say. They knew what was going on. But it's just amazing to me that. You know, we've got to have High Times come out and moderate this thing in Denver at a cannabis cup. So you mean to tell me that you've got a problem with someone talking about marijuana, medical marijuana being a farce and a sham or anything like that, at an event sponsored by High Times with Snoop and Wiz Khalifa on the cover, in a magazine that is sponsored, that's showing ads? You know, we got, you know, the typical ads of the hot chicks, you know, with the buds, BC Bud Depot, and the hot chicks with buds all over them. And yet we still have a problem with whether or not medical marijuana is a farce or a sham. It's really a shame I can't be at this debate. They actually asked me to be at this, but I've already got a prior commitment with the San Antonio Normal chapter. Folks, let's just bottom line this here. People who are involved in medical marijuana, the vast majority of them, are doing good work. These dispensaries, the ones I saw in L.A., the people that I saw working for these places, a lot of them are doing really good work. But there is just no separating the fact that legalization, that the recreational use, the party atmosphere is always going to bleed over into the medical marijuana. It's always going to happen. So long as 90% of the people that use marijuana are considered criminals, they're going to do what they can to not be criminals. And that's what's going to make it look bad for the other people that are medical and really need these laws the way they are, because they can't choose to use marijuana. They have to use marijuana. And it just makes an ugly situation for everyone involved. This is the Box Canyon that we're talking about, that politically, rhetorically, legislatively, regulation-wise, we are ending up in this dead end, this cul-de-sac, where people that abuse that will be considered marijuana abusers if they're not using it medically. Pharmaceutical companies will begin to patent and distribute all sorts of non-high producing, bar-coded, can't grow it yourself cannabis products. These are some very dangerous times, and a crossroad has arrived. We've reached the crossroad, and it's time to move full bore into legalization. All use is nunya. It's nunya business why we use cannabis. It's time to stop locking people up for it regardless. So if you're planning on attending that High Times Cup in Denver, just be aware that will be on the table. Not my choice, but the idea is out there. It's going to happen. So I hope everything goes well. I'm Radical Russ. For everyone here at the Normal Network and the Normal Show Live crew, thanks for joining us. Stick around for Toker Talk Radio coming up next, where we take your calls at 971-533-7111. And until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you run.